The Holy Gospel according to John, the 17th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus prayed, I ask not on behalf, only on behalf of these, but also on behalf of those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one. As you, Father, are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given them, so that they may be one as we are one, I in them and you in me, that they may become completely one, so that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Father, I desire that those also whom you have given me may be with me where I am, to see my glory, which you have given me because you loved me before the foundation of the world. Righteous Father, the world does not know you, but I know you, and these know that you have sent me. I made your name known to them, and I will make it known, so that the love with which you have loved me may be in them, and I in them. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. I'd like to invite the children forward. Come on in. They're taller than you. You can sit in front of them.
Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so.
Good morning. Good morning. We have some big kids with us, don't we? Can you tell where they're from? Sky Ranch. All right, so let's learn their names, okay? Do you think we should learn their names quick? All right, go ahead.
I'm Greg.
Okay.
I'm Nikki.
I'm Ethan.
I'm Alex.
Nicole.
All right, welcome. We're glad you're here with us today. The Sky Ranch staff is all down the mountain, and they're at different churches this morning, and they'll be at the barbecue and bluegrass at 4 o'clock at Spirit of Joy. So you can also come and hang out with them then. Well, I wanted them to come up with us because I thought maybe they could help us a little bit. So the gospel that I just read was Jesus in talking. But do you know what kind of talking he was doing? Did you pick up on that? He was praying. Yeah, he was praying. And he was praying for us, right? He was with his disciples, but he was praying for all the people that would come after them too. And did you hear any words that he was saying that sounded like maybe he said a lot? It was a little confusing. He's like, I and them and me and with the Father and we're all one. But the main thing was about being one in God. And so that's a promise that we have. But I think that also means that when we're praying, sometimes we pray words of thanks, right? Sometimes we pray for help. And sometimes maybe we just have questions. Do you ever have questions? Yeah, I hope so. I hope you have questions about God or faith or church. And so today in our sacred space time, we have this cross and we have all these post-its. But I thought we could help people get started. And I was wondering if you have any questions. I'm just going to start passing this around because you're going to take a post-it with you. But do you have any questions you might want to ask God? Anybody have an idea? Yeah? Yeah, that's a prayer. You want to say, help other people live? Do you have a question you could ask God? Maybe one of our Sky Ranch staff has a question. This is why I brought the big kids up. They can get us started with that. Any questions you'd want to ask God? I'll tell you mine. My question is, I want to know, why don't dogs live longer? Yeah? I just think dogs should live as long as people. I am not sure what that was all about. All right, anybody else have a question? Come on, think of one. No? No questions? Okay, well, then you have a little assignment that when you go back to your seat and you're thinking and praying about how we can be one with God, to have your parents help you draw something or write a question that you can put on the cross, okay? All right, do you think we can do that? All right, let's pray together. God, thank you for making us one. And promising us your love.
And promising us your love.
Help us to live.
Help us to live.
In the promise.
In the promise.
That we are one with you.
That we are one with you.
Amen. Okay. You may go back to your seat. Well, as you may have picked up on, we enter this gospel text in the middle of something. We started it, you know, we put that little parenthesis, Jesus prayed, but really Jesus is in the middle of this prayer and praying out loud for these people that he knows and cares about. And I'm wondering if you've had, think to a time maybe you've had someone pray out loud for you or seen your name written down in prayer. Or maybe just wanted someone to pray out loud for you. And how does that feel? I think there's probably a variety of words that would come to mind in this room or even just within one person. It could feel comforting. It could feel like you're being very vulnerable. You might feel grateful. You might even feel kind of awkward. It's not something that we always practice all the time. It's why I love how we have opened up this kind of praying out loud in our prayers of the people, the invitation for you to write down things that you would like lifted up, to place them in this basket. It's one way that we gather together and open this door of how our hearts can be joined as one during this time. And it is a true privilege to get to be one of the people that sees them and reads them. The ones written in a shaky hand and maybe a little wet with tears. Or the ones that are brand new handwriting from the smallest amongst us. The ones that are written with clarity and purpose. They are all beautiful. And they are all about how we live together in faith. The box as well, the one that no one reads, the prayers that are inside it, but they are here in this space, taking up room, declaring that we know God hears us. So as Jesus is in the middle of this prayer, it is a prayer of his heart, but it's also a prayer of the heart of humanity as he addresses this deep desire for people to be united and specifically to be united in God and the Holy Spirit and through that love. And this is a longing of humanity that isn't just in one time or place or culture. It spans all of that. We can think about things from our own day. Songs, for instance, like John Lennon, Imagine. You may say I'm a dreamer, but I'm not the only one. I hope someday you'll join us and the world will live as one. Or more recently, Matis Yahu, the Hasiatic Jew, who wrote a song called One Day, and this was part of the Olympics in 2010, I believe. All my life I've been waiting for, I've been praying for the people to say, we don't want to fight no more. There'll be no more wars, and our children will play. And it's not just musicians. It shows up in all kinds of expressions of creativity. Those who go out and enjoy nature, the outdoors, and have this prayer to be united in that way. our artists, our painters, our poets, our writers, and just the longings of our own hearts can express this profound desire for peace and unity to be the things that win in this world. Well, this is also the desire and the warning that John's letter of Revelation gives us today. As he ends this letter that we have been walking through the last few weeks, he is once again declaring God as the beginning and the end, the Alpha and the Omega. And the promise is that in the end, all will be well. All will be well with God. And yet, in the middle, there are choices to be made and there are things to do. His warning is pretty strong, actually. Those who side with Rome, who align themselves with the culture, or who just kind of go along with it unaware, who don't stand up for justice, will see suffering, and in those moments are not on the side of God. This warning is like the ones from the prophets, from Isaiah and Jeremiah. It's also in line with what we have explored already, not a prediction of the future, but an observation of current issues that people are living in now. These words for us today are also ones that ask us to pause, to see where do we need to examine our own lives? How do we participate in systems of injustice or insecurity for others? Where do we need to advocate, and where do we need to change our patterns or just pay more attention and take a deeper look? I have a colleague in town who picks an area of focus each year that he's going to learn more about and try to live out. And this year, he and his family are trying to avoid plastics, especially the ones that are unnecessary. There are some that are quite necessary, but the ones that kind of fill up our spaces and our world. And this is absolutely challenging and sometimes not really possible. And yet, just from hearing his experience, I have learned so much about how this affects not just our natural resources, but how it affects the actual lives of others. This one seemingly small thing is an eye-opener and a perspective changer. Now, he's invited me into this challenge as well, sometimes annoyingly and a little harshly, in my opinion. For instance, he dared to say, "Do we really need to buy those things for Vacation Bible School? Look at all that packaging." His words of invitation are strong and even a bit pushy, and yet sometimes subtleties actually don't work. And even though I'm challenged, I am hearing and starting to notice where I can change my patterns and invite others, extending that same invitation into paying attention. The words of invitation from Revelation are strong as well, and they go even deeper or beyond that challenge from my colleague. "Come, and let everyone who hears say, 'Come,' and let everyone who is thirsty come. Let anyone who wishes to take the water of life as a gift." Anyone and all come. When we hear this invitation, we think of ourselves, and it's true. We are included and we are invited, and we are also the ones who are invited to be a part of that invitation for others. And so, come to those we love and who are close to us and sit near us, and also to the ones we disagree with and the ones that annoy us and the ones who we don't know or understand, the ones who are seeking or lost or in crisis. Come. God's invitation goes wide and deep, wide into opening our doors and deep into our spirits to help us see where we need to move over and acknowledge the space for another. True invitation and true unity don't just happen automatically, and they come with a lot of questions and a lot of discernment and a lot of missteps and a lot of trying again. They can be uncomfortable and challenging, and they ask us to notice warnings and invitations. And so, the Alpha and the Omega, who knows all the tough stuff right in the middle, Jesus begins with prayer. Jesus is praying for people he will leave. He's praying with the disciples who have walked with him, but he is also praying for people that are yet to come. Take note of verse 20, where we enter into the prayer. Jesus says, "I am not asking only on behalf of the disciples, but on those who come after, on those who hear their word, on those from the beginning and the end, and all the choices and viewpoints and challenges in the middle." No matter what is here or what is to come, the promise of this prayer is that you are with, in, and of God. So in this moment, just for now, rest in this truth. Open up this possibility and this promise. Close your eyes if you're comfortable, and listen in on this prayer where you are invited to let Jesus pray for you right now, wherever you are. God, I am coming to you, and I speak these things in the world so that they may have my joy made complete in themselves. All mine are yours, and yours are mine. And I have been glorified in them, and now I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world. And I am coming to you, Holy Father, protect them in your name that you have given me, so that they may be one as we are one. Amen. May it be so.